This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, well, well. Your portal for up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being.
Sponsored by Thorn Harbour Health. Thornharbour.org.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. Tonight I am joined by my co-host Claire Noon. Hi, Claire.
Hello.
Hi, Dill. And we're going to talk about the Thorn Harbour Health Therapeutic Group Fearless. We also have a guest in the studio here who is one of the facilitators of the group. Is that right?
Yes, Alex is one of the facilitators.
Yes, Alex Story. Hello, Alex.
Hiya.
Hi there. It's your first time on radio as well, I hear.
Yes, it is.
How are you feeling? You all right? No pressure. But Claire, do you want to tell us a bit about Fearless?
Fearless is a therapeutic group that talks about internalized homophobia. It is a very small group, but Alex is here to sort of help us unpack what is internalized homophobia, how that affects LBQ people, and how you can refer yourself if you'd like to be involved.
Awesome. Tonight we'll be discussing a little bit more about what internalized homophobia actually is, if you haven't heard of that before, the sorts of impacts it has on the queer community, but especially LBQ women. We're going to put on a wee song shortly and get you all prepared for some serious chats. We'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And this evening, we are talking about the LBQ internalized homophobia.
I'm really looking forward to dive into this topic, but before we do, I was wondering if we might be able to do some quick acronym housekeeping.
Acronym housekeeping is so important, and we always forget to do it, and we assume when we work in the LGBTIQAA plus space that everybody knows what all the letters mean. Mm. So thank you, Claire, for that.
Yeah, so throughout the hour, we're going to be talking about specifically LBQ women, and within this context, we're referring to lesbian, bisexual and queer women, and that's inclusive of trans women, non-binary and genderqueer femmes, and women who might also be asexual.
Great. And can we talk a bit about internalized homophobia and what that means?
Yeah, that's a very good question, given that we're talking about Fearless, which is a group for addressing internalized homophobia and how that can affect our lives. So internalized homophobia is something that can happen to gay, lesbian, bisexual people, all members of the LGBT community as well, and even people who might be heterosexual and cisgender. And it basically means that we've learnt and been taught that heterosexuality is the norm and it's the correct way to be by society. So when we see and we hear negative depictions of people like us, that can lead us to internalise or take in these negative messages. So some people in our community might suffer from mental distress as a result.
For example, as I was growing up, I was taught there's no such thing as gay. So therefore, right, you don't accept that you're gay because you've been told there's no such thing as gay. That's a pretty prime example of internalized homophobia, right?
Yeah. Or the heterosexual media branding and role modelling we've been exposed to might actually be as damaging as it appears.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a lot of the stuff that we don't really acknowledge a lot of the time, that all of the kind of media and role models and what we see on TV and in film and whatnot can really influence how we think and feel.
And if you don't see yourself in the media, then how do you know that you are quote unquote normal?
Normal. It's
what
the goal.
Word.
It's the word that
what a
it's
word.
The word that just really makes us all feel great, isn't it? Are we normal?
No.
No, and I don't want to be normal, yeah. Whatever it is. I'm not interested. I've heard about some sort of scale of homophobia developed by Dorothy Riddle. Can we talk about that? What's the scale?
Yeah, so that scale talks about various emotions that range from repulsion to nurturance. And the emotions in this scale can correspond to actions or responses that are born from these emotions and how they might impact that queer person and ongoing ripple effect of these. And in response to that, a few years later, there was a scale on internalized homophobia.
Right.
Mm. So that scale sort of identifies some of the areas that, you know, people might be in on their journey. So we've got self-hatred, self-pity, resignation, self-acceptance, self-love, support, pride, and finally celebration.
Isn't that lovely?
It's kind of overwhelming to think about how long this kind of external and internal hatred has been cycling through the generations.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavy stuff to start with, I guess, but it's really important that we acknowledge it. So I think what we should do now is play a song.
That'd
be nice.
Something
uplifting, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
All right. We will be right back. Please stick around. We're going to be talking about Fearless, which is a therapy group session that Thorn Harbor Health is running for LBQ women. That's lesbian, bisexual and queer women and everything that falls under that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. You are listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
You're still with us after a song. Yeah. You're feeling a bit cheerier?
Yeah.
Yay.
A bit better. Hey, Alex, could you tell us a little bit about your role at Thorn Harbor?
Yeah, so I'm part of the general counselling team. I do a little bit of counselling over at Living Positive Victoria as well, and I do a lot of the intake and assessment for people coming into the service if they're wanting to access individual counselling, relationship counselling, or even coming and joining one of our therapeutic groups.
Great, great. And what kind of things might people present to the general counselling team to talk about?
Oh, gosh, there are so many things that people might come in for. You know, obviously there'll be people who want to talk about the process of coming out, maybe to themselves or to other loved ones in their lives. We have people who just come in around general life issues that are going on for them, relationship breakups, issues at work. So there are a whole range of things that people can come into individual counselling for.
Yeah.
And nothing's too small or too big.
Mm. And I think it's really important to make sure that your mind is as healthy as your body.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the community aren't aware that Thorn Harbor Health has such a broad range of services and therapeutic groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we would urge you to check out the website thornharbor.org and see kind of what's on offer. We really have broadened our services in the last year or two.
Yeah,
and everything's free.
Yep, yeah. Everything is free.
Everything is free.
Yeah.
So we have been talking this evening about internalized homophobia, specifically for LBQ women. And Alex, a little birdie told me that you're one of the fearless women to fight for an LBQ-specific therapeutic group.
Yeah, so we've been running Fearless for a number of years now. We've been noticing that the people who are asking about the group and the people who are turning up for the group are generally men, you know, cis and trans men who are turning up for the group. So we're aware that women experience homophobia, they experience biphobia, transphobia, but traditionally they haven't attended the groups that we've run. So that's really making us aware that the group wasn't catering to the needs that women have. So we're working together to specifically create a group that can address the unique experiences of homophobia that women might have.
And, you know, it's important for people to feel comfortable in the space that they're in as well.
Yeah, which is why I guess it's facilitated by LBQ women as well. Yeah, great. I mean, I'm pretty struck by what you've just said about, you know, it is impossible for LBQ women to not experience homophobia, biphobia, transphobia. So could we talk about some of the heteronormative examples that may lead to internalized homophobia, like bi-erasure, the over-sexualization of LBQ sexual orientations, lack of community spaces, and, you know, a pretty big one that's still very present, religious practices?
And that's been a big part of my upbringing, is being around those religious circles. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I have a twin brother who's also queer, and we were taught there's no such thing as gay. So to unlearn that as part of your upbringing, as part of one of your morals, you know, that's a really, really big thing. Mm. And I remember for a long time, it was very obvious that my brother was gay, as far as I was concerned anyway. But for a very long time, he was in denial about that because he really did not want to be gay, because he was taught that gay did not exist, that gay was wrong. And so if that's your starting point to coming out, you know, it's difficult.
One of the favourite ones that was thrown around where I grew up was God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Oh, and that stuff sticks.
Yeah.
It sticks like shit to a blanket. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think religion and kind of the teachings of religion, and even in school, like so many schools have those religious teachings, that's a really hard basis for people to start.
Even sex education at school is very, you know, penis vagina focused. I don't know if I could say those words on
you
the radio,
can definitely say those words. They're anatomy.
Yeah.
I think with sex education as well, for people who might be trans or gender diverse, I don't know what it was like at your schools, but in my school we had the boys go into one room and they talk about I don't know what
stuff.
They talk about.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Mm. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
And the girls go into another room and talk about periods. And I know for people at my school, there was just such a mysticism around, you know, what are the boys doing? What are they going on about? Mm. Which might have actually been quite useful information for
everyone,
all of us to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that true? And I hope that sex education in schools has changed since then, but I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I'm not at school anymore, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I think in religious schools it's a very different landscape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, Claire, I think it's really important to note for women, LBQ women especially, the over sexualization. You know, like for a lot of people, their first knowledge of being a lesbian, in air quotes, is lesbian porn.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for men. And men see that as a very sexual thing. And to be able to remove yourself from that can be quite difficult, you know.
Or,
many
you know,
times I've been out, and I've been out with a female partner, and people have been like, oh, can you kiss each other? Or you should go with her.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, like looking for a performance piece.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, sometimes I did enjoy the attention.
But part of that pornographic culture of, like, you know, the traditional threesome with two women and one man is that the women are performing for the man, and they don't actually have their own, like, sexual desires or feelings about that space and what they're participating in.
Yeah. Well, that's some pretty heavy content we're getting into already, but really relevant. And, you know, I think we are realizing more and more at Thorn Harbor Health that our community is very diverse, and it's a whole bunch of little communities within one very big community. Mm. And we're starting to address those specific needs. So that's really great.
I was just thinking about something you just previously mentioned about being out with a female partner and having people sort of approach you to make out or to be affectionate with one another.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a space growing up in Northern Ireland where you could go, like a community space that was safe?
There were always very mixed community spaces. You know, there was the gay bar, the one and only gay bar, and that was great. And I'd never felt like I belonged anywhere more in my life. But I think that in somewhere like Melbourne, it's a very big city, and everything seems to be happening in particular pockets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you both think about that, but there's definitely the more kind of suburban and regional areas that don't really have a lot of social spaces.
Yeah, I think definitely for me, as a queer woman living out in the South, there's a distinct lack of really specific LBQ spaces for me to go that are outside of my house.
Is there a Bunnings in your area?
There is a Bunnings. And now that you mention it, that is where I see all the queer women. Mm. Maybe I should just be hanging out there.
Do some collab stuff with Bunnings. Just like do a sausage sizzle takeover.
An organic sausage sizzle takeover. Bunning.
With vegan sausages.
I think we've just come up with something here. I think there's a solution to your problem. But yeah, I think that's really important to note that there aren't these spaces everywhere. And creating spaces is very important.
Definitely. in talking about some of the examples of how heteronormative culture and lack of community spaces can impact LBQ women, how do you think some of these, air quote, normal experiences, there's that word again, really impact our LBQ family?
Yeah. I think one of the really big things is that it can really impact on our relationships with other people. So our relationships with family of origin, relationships that we have with friends, romantic and sexual partners. We don't have a lot of positive examples, even today, of what our relationships can look like with family, friends and loved ones. And that can have a real negative effect on how we build communities, how we experience connection, and it can lead to some people feeling quite socially isolated. Mm.
Or trying to emanate some of those really heteronormative behaviours. Mm. Like, oh, well, if you're a queer female couple, you must be lesbians, so one of you must be butch and one of you must be femme and one of you must be the mum and one of you must be the dad, one of you must be the top and one of you must be the bottom. And it, like, people don't realize that they fall into those really easily, those roles really easily. And, you know, it's, we all learn everything that we know socially as kids from watching TV and watching movies. And like, I remember the day that I accidentally discovered the L word on TV and I was like, why do I feel all these things? This is the first time I've really related to something I've watched on TV. And it wasn't until then that I'd seen any kind of positive queer female representation on TV. And it was like I'd found some sort of naughty little secret.
Yeah, a lot of the queer examples in media and television are very male dominated. It's almost like we live in a world where there is rampant sexism and women cannot be in relationships without it becoming over sexualized.
Yeah, I guess for me, a lot of my queer icons growing up were actually gay and bisexual men. I'm just going to out myself as a little bit of a nerd here as well, because, you know, for me, Doctor Who and Torchwood were such important parts of, you know, me working out my sexuality.
Really?
And seeing, like, queer people on TV just going out doing normal things like, you know, hanging out with aliens and going on space adventures. But it was hard for me growing up as well, because I was going, well, I know what queer men are doing. I know what their interests are. I know what, you know, they're up to. But what are other queer women doing? What are their interests? How can I find them?
I think they're talking on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother was really obsessed with Will and Grace, and I think that was one of the first kind of openly mainstream gay, shall we say, TV sitcoms. And he still watches it every day to this day. But the women that were represented in that show, they were all the fag hags. They weren't in relationships with women. And so as much as we all really want it to be Karen, you know, Karen might have slipped a digit in a girl every now and then, but she was essentially a heterosexual woman.
Yeah.
So yeah, we really didn't see those people. There was Steph Scully on Neighbours, but she just rode a motorbike and wasn't actually gay at all.
Yeah.
But apparently recently she came out.
Did she?
I don't know if anyone actually watches Neighbours anymore, but apparently that happened.
I think a few people might be now that they know this information.
And on the note of the L word, big news, it's coming back.
Jenny's back.
I'm going to have to admit that Jenny is still one of my favourites, as messed up as she is.
You're like a troublemaker, though.
I am a troublemaker, yeah. But, yeah, having that representation on TV, very important, and it didn't exist back then, but it does now, and that's really fantastic. So some of the bi-cons that we've seen on TV now, most recently, have been quite a lot. So the likes of Janelle Monáe, and she's like writing songs about pussy, you know. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. I said it. And lots more celebrities are coming out as bisexual, and I think that's really important as well, because like bi erasure, especially in Hollywood, is a big thing.
Yeah, we've got characters like Alana from Broad City as well. Like, take a moment to respect.
I mean, I know we've been talking a lot about our experiences growing up and, you know, watching the media. And for me, growing up as a bisexual woman, you know, the images that you see, bisexual women, they're either dying tragically or they're being saved by a man. And obviously, you know, bisexual women can and are in relationships with men all the time, but it almost becomes an invalidation of any feelings they might have towards women or people of other genders, because it's like, oh, now I'm with a man and now I'm super straight.
Yeah. But sometimes it's like one step forward, two steps back. You know, now we have more representation of trans women on screen, which is really great, but also problematic because they are not trans actors most of the time.
A lot of the time.
And I mean, like, guess what? Trans actors exist and we should pay them.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Alex, what now? What is the referral process for anyone who would like to get involved or have some more information about Fearless for LBQ women?
Yeah, so if you're interested in participating or if you'd like to have a private conversation around our services, so that could be any of our counselling services that we offer, it'd be really good if you can give the duty worker a call at Thorn Harbour Health. So the way to do that, give us a ring on 98 65 6700 during business hours and ask to speak with the duty worker. Or if, you know, phone's not the best place for you to start off with, you can give us an email at counselling@thornharbour.org, just bearing in mind that we'll only get back to you during Monday to Friday business hours. From then on, we can complete an intake process with you over the phone, and then we can book you in for a face-to-face assessment just to make sure that we can offer you an appropriate service.
How long does the intake usually take? How long does the intake process usually take? If someone was to call up and they might be at work and only have half an hour for lunch, like, how, you know, would that be enough time?
It would be enough time. I generally find that the intake process takes 15 to 20 minutes, and that includes having a bit of a conversation about what's been going on for you. Because we do go through some really private information with people, their contact details, their demographics. So that includes, you know, how do you describe your sexual orientation? How do you describe your gender? Some people may not feel comfortable doing that on their lunch break at work. So if you've got the capacity to find a private space, be away from people so you can have a 15 to 20 minute conversation, that's going to be the best thing. But honestly, just give us a call, shoot us an email, and we'll work out a time that we can have a conversation with you.
So after the intake, we then do like a face-to-face assessment, and at that face-to-face assessment, would it be possible to meet the facilitators if they're available, so that you have, like, I guess, like a face, to a familiar face on the first night? Because I'm assuming that's going to be quite daunting for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Turning up can be a really hard thing to do. Actually making the initial call or sending an email can be a really hard thing to do. So we want to make sure that process is as comfortable for people as possible. So, you know, it's my expectation that either myself or my co-facilitator will be organising those assessments. So you'll get to meet with at least one of the co-facilitators and ask us all the questions you might have.
Yeah, and I guess coming in for the assessment would mean you'd see the building, you get to see the room if you'd like to, and you can familiarise yourself with the space if, you know, if that's important to you.
Yeah, definitely.
I can vouch that Alex is really nice. She's like really warm and welcoming and gentle and will make you feel very comfortable. I can guarantee that. So was there anything else either of you wanted to add on the process of the group?
Yeah, I think I just really wanted to leave our listeners in with the idea that if you're out there and you're a woman, or if you feel comfortable using the word woman in your view of your gender expression, and you feel that homophobia has been something that you've experienced or you'd like to talk about, give us a call and we're very happy to have a conversation with you and see how things go.
Oh, that's lovely. We will quickly pop on a song and we'll come back after the break just to recap on everything that we've talked about here on the show tonight. We've been discussing our therapeutic group that Thorn Harbour Health are bringing called Fearless. And Fearless already existed before, but we've created one for women.
Specifically for LBQ people, whether that be lesbian, bisexual, queer, trans inclusive, non-binary inclusive, ace inclusive. You know, as Alex was just saying, if you identify femme or woman as part of your gender expression, then this group may be the place for you to explore any experiences of internalized homophobia.
Yeah. So when is it?
So we're expecting to start it up in early May. So you can give us a call anytime, you know, over the next couple of months and ask to speak with the duty worker so you can do our intake and assessment process. And those processes just make sure that we can offer you an appropriate service. If there's another service that might be more appropriate, like individual counselling, we can help you with referral to our general counselling program. Mm. So the number to call will be 98656700 and ask to speak to the duty worker during business hours Monday to Friday.
Brilliant. Yeah, and our office is located in the Paran area of town, so being at the first group, I'm assuming that we will hopefully be able to expand to the north side, but you know, Northsiders will have to pack their passport and come across the river and
take some time off.
Book an Airbnb.
Yeah. Dolls, you might have to glamp.
Bring your sun visor.
Don't forget your sunscreen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might have to cross the river, unfortunately, but it'd be worthwhile.
Mm. And we're all super nice.
Yeah.
So
making the Southside great again.
We are, doll.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for coming on the show. It's been fabulous to have you here. And Claire will definitely be back because she is now one of our new Well radio hosts. So keep your ears out for Claire back on the air. And Alex, we'd love to have you back on the show sometime.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I'm sure that there'll be other things that we can talk about later in the year in terms of our counselling program.
Oh, fabulous.
And I think there might be a little bit of a by and mighty group happening that you could also be involved with.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that could be right. So I guess, you know, during today's show, we've been talking a little bit about some of the things that LBQ women face. And we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the issues that bisexual women might be experiencing, and we're currently in the process of running a By and Mighty group. So that'll be for bisexual people of any gender to have a therapeutic group of their own.
Mm. Oh, as a fellow By and Mighty, I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, it's really great to see so much stuff starting to happen in that bi space. So thank you for sharing that. Happy Thirsty Thursdays, everyone. It's almost the weekend. We will talk to you next week on Well. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Good night.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.